We begin the new Mesechta, Mesechta's Chulin. We continue on the theme of the previous Mesechta's, here in Seder Kadshim, of Zevachim and Menachas, which we opened up with Zevachim, which are the primary Karbanos, those of the animal sacrifices. Once we introduced that, we went to Menachas, which are the flower sacrifices, which have the parallel of the same four different Avodas, the services. Then, in contrast to Zevachim, is Chulin, which actually, as Rashi many times, when it quotes from Mesechta Zevachim, he calls it Shechitas Kadshim, and that's what this Mesechta was generally called, Shechitas Chulin, and that's the contrast where the same thing of the slaughtering that applies to Karbanas then applies to the mundane, which is Chulin, which is that of regular animals that are being sacrificed for regular human consumption. So now we begin with the first Perek, Perek HaKol Shechten, which as the title of the Perek, discusses the primarily the halachas of slaughtering of an animal. So begins the opening Mishnah. Daf Bezim and Alf, HaKol Shechten, everyone can slaughter, which, as Rashi explains, whenever it says the word hakoil, then, as it's actually brought in the first topic of Masechta Serachin, it comes to include something else that's not mentioned over here that maybe we would have thought is not included. Now, this that it says hakol shechten, everyone could slaughter an animal for the halachas of Shechita, there's actually a dispute in the Machlokes and the Gemara regarding between Amiram. One opinion says it's including Tamei Bechulin, and that is although that by Kadshim, as we're going to see, it's a problem for a ritually impure person to slaughter the animal sacrifice, but by Chulin, by unconsecrated animals, that is what's being included, a Tamei person could slaughter it. Or another opinion says it's including a Kuti or a Mumer, which is although they're not the regular bona fide full-fledged Jew, but a Kuti is someone from the people that came to that were brought by the Assyrian king Teretz Yisrael, and there's a question regarding their status as Jews, or a Mumer is someone who rebelled from the ways of Judaism, that even they're included in that they could slaughter an animal. Now continues the Mishnah, Vishchitas Nikshera, and the slaughtering is valid for the animal to be considered a properly slaughtered animal. Now, however, chutz micherishayt v'katan, but the exception to this rule is the deaf mute or the mentally deranged or the minor that they cannot slaughter. Shemikalkul eshchitasin, because maybe they're going to ruin their slaughtering because they don't have das, they're not fully with their mental capacity, and therefore they might do something wrong when they're slaughtering, and therefore they're not valid. Now, continues the Mishnah, v'kulan sheshachatu, and all of them who slaughtered. The Gemara is going to explain what's v'kulan all of them going on. However, if others see them as they're slaughtering, then shchitasin kshera, then their slaughtering is going to be valid. Now the Gemara asks, regarding the opening line of our Mishnah, that there seems to be a contradiction. It opens up hakol shechten, everyone could slaughter. That sounds like l'katchili, even initially. Then the next words are v'shchitasin kshera, and their slaughtering is going to be valid. That's the evid. That sounds like after the fact. Now that's difficult. How could the Mishnah open up by saying from the word hakol, which sounds like that everyone could go ahead initially and do this, but yet the next sentence then makes it sound like that it's going to be di'evid. We were going on those who we just said hakol, that it's even l'ketchila. Now, as Rashi points out, you can't say that the whole Mishnah is saying one sentence and saying, no, it's l'ketchila, it's initially, everyone could slaughter and therefore their slaughtering is valid. Because once you tell me HaKol Shechten, everyone could slaughter, I obviously know that their slaughtering is valid. So then when it says Shechitas Nikshera, it sounds like a bit the Ebed. So what is it? Is it like a Tchila? Is it even initially? Or is it only after the fact? Now on this question of the Gemara, Amalei Rav Acha Berei de Rav Rav Ashi. He asked Rav Ashi, what's the Gemara's question? Whenever it says HaKol, that everyone does this, it means even initially that you can ask the question and that you can't say that the whole Mishnah is referring to a terminology of Dievet after the fact. Maybe what the Mishnah means to say is, when it says HaKol Sheikh, then it means everyone has the halachic status of slaughtering that applies to them, where that if they slaughter, even those who are generally invalid initially, but that after the fact, their Shechita is going to be kosher. Maybe that's what the Mishnah means to say. What's the difficulty? HaKol Shechten doesn't mean initially, it means everyone has some element of slaughtering in their halachas to them, and therefore the Shechita is going to be kosher. Because if you think to say that HaKol has to mean l'ketchila, and therefore you're asking that the word Shechitas Nikshera sounds like a thing, b'di'evid, b'edal me'ata, but take a look at a Mishnah Masechtas Temura. It says, HaKol Mamirin, everyone does the halacha of Temura, of the swapping the sanctity of a carbon onto a chulin animal, echer ha'nashim, v'echer ha'nashim, that applies to both the halacha regarding men or women. On that, asked the Gemara, Hachanami, did you look at Chilahu? Do you think to say that that's even talking about even initially, meaning when it says over there in the Mishnah that Hakol Mamirin, it's saying that everyone is initially allowed to go ahead and bring an unconsecrated animal near a carbon, a behemoth kachim, and say that this should be the Temura, the swapping its sanctity onto this animal? Now, this actually, that it says Hakol Mamirin over there, Masechtas Temura, the Gemara explains over there, what's that coming to include? As we said, the word Hakol always is saying all, everyone, who is everyone, it's coming to include something. So the Gemara there says it's coming to include a Yairish, an inheritor, where his father passed away, and they left over a carbon, that inheritor could then do Temura after his father passed away in his father's carbon, because actually the Mishnah over there tells us that other people cannot do Temura on someone else's carbon. So the Chiddush is, the novelty is, but the Yairish, the inheritor, he could go ahead and do Temura on his father's carbon who had passed away. But the one thing is, are you saying that Hakol always sounds like the Ketchila? So Hakol Mamirin would mean to say that everyone initially is allowed to go ahead and do Temura? But Vokisiv, the Pasuk says, V'yikra, and says clearly, Lo Yachlifeno, you're not supposed to swap a carbon onto its sanctity, onto a chulin animal. And as the Pasuk says, V'lo yamer oisai taiv, you shouldn't change a good animal, meaning if it's unblemished, b'ra, in a bad animal, meaning if it's blemished, or even a bad one, a blemished animal, even if you're trying to swap it onto a good one, unblemished, you're not allowed to do Temura. So you see clearly that Hakol doesn't always mean like Ketchila, because Mamirin definitely does not mean that you go out initially and do Temura. So what are you asking over here in our Mishnah, that you're saying, oh, Hakol Shechta means like Ketchila? Who said? Maybe it's old Toma B'diyavet. Says the Gemara, no. That's not difficult. Hasim k'diktani taima. There, it's like the Mishnah there in Temura itself says the reason that it actually, yes, Hakol always means l'ketchila, as the Gemara is assuming, and it's according to the questioner. There, that it says Hakol, the Tana itself uproots the opening word of Hakol Mamirin that it mentions to tell you that it's not l'ketchila. But like in our Mishnah, where it says Hakol Sheikhtin, it retains its status as long as you did not uproot it and you didn't say that, not that all psulim are permitted to slaughter like it uproots it over there, as we're going to shortly explain in Temura. It sounds like that no, that initially it's allowing everyone to go ahead and do a slaughtering, and therefore the Gemara's question was, when it then continues to say Shchitasing Sheru, which sounds like B'diavad, well, that's a contradiction. Is it L'ketchila or is it B'diavad? In contrast, as the Gemara is explaining right now in Temura. Why? Because the Mishnah there continues, and it says, Loi shaha adam rishoi lahamer. It's not that a person is permitted to go ahead and do Temur, because like we brought in the Gemara, it says, Lo yachli feno. So rather, what the opening words of the Mishnah is coming to tell us, is that everyone has the law of Temur that applies to them. Now, Rashi says, so why did the Mishnah open up with Hakol Mamirin, which the Gemara is assuming right now always means L'ketchila, and therefore, so the Tana had to then go ahead and clarify and qualify and say, no, I know Hakol means L'ketchila, but here it doesn't mean that a person is initially L'ketchila allowed to go ahead and do Temura. Why didn't he just say it, opening up in the bridge version, and say, everyone has the halacha of Temura that applies to them. Hakol Shemir, Temuras and Temura. And then that would have told us that it's not L'ketchila. Why say L'ketchila and then say, no, we don't mean L'ketchila? So Rashi says, because the word Hakol is the terminology that the Tanoim always use. We always find it, like in our Mishnah. Hakol Sheichtin, we find Hakol Saimchin, Hakol Chayavin. So therefore, over here in the Mishnah Temura, although now because of opening up with Hakol Mamirin, the Tana has to be lengthy, or although generally the Tana likes to give in a Bederach Ketzara, here, he's not going to change the terminology that Tanoim usually use, and therefore he opens up with Hakol Mamirin, but then he himself qualifies that it doesn't mean L'ketchila, and says that it's actually a person not allowed to do Temura. Ela Shim Hamer Mumer, rather says the Tan himself, what it means to say is that if he does Temura, then the laws of Temura will apply, meaning that the second animal, the Chulim one, will then have that sanctity too, and now both animals are sanctified, which is actually the halacha of what applies to Temura. And V'seifik Esar Barn. And then the one who did it gets actually the 40 lashes, 39 lashes, because he violated the law of the negative prohibition of lo yomer, of not doing Temura. But again, we're still maintaining our supposition of the Gemara's question that yes, Hakol means l'ketchila. And there in the Mishnah that it says Hakol Mamirin, yes, it means l'ketchila. But the Tan himself then says that he's precluding from that and that no, it's really b'diavad. But in our Mishnah, Hakol Shechna is l'ketchila and then Shechadas Geshev is b'diavad. That's the question. But the Gemara continues asking. But Ella, take a Mishnah Masechtas Arichin. It says, Hakol Marichin. Everyone could do the law of assessing another individual's biblical value. As the Gemara there explains, what does Hakol come to include? As we said, Hakol means everyone could do this. So over there it says, coming to include what's called a mufla samach le'ish, which is, what does it mean, a mufla? Mufla is someone that knows to be mafli. He knows how to enunciate and to say who he's sanctifying this thing, which is the proceeds goes to hektish, meaning to Hashem. And when it says he's samach le'ish, meaning if he's near his time of becoming an adult, which is a year before becoming 13, when he's from the age of 12 and on, then his words will be valid in regarding to his arichin vow, that even though he's still a minor, until he's 13 years old, it's still going to be marichin. Now what does it mean, marichin? It means to say that he has the law of creating an erich vow, where if let's say that 12-year-old boy says, or any person, says, erki alai, my erich vow is value is on me, or that person's erich value is on me, so then his vow is valid, and although this one is taking the neder, this vow is a minor, he has to give according to the years of that person, which the Torah already sets a certain amount regarding age and gender, how much you have to give for that erich vow. So everyone could do the erich vow. V'nerachin. And everyone is the subject of the erich vow if he has the Torah value of an erich. What that novelty in Hakol Nerachin is, that even if it's what's called a mukashchin, even if he's full of blisters and leprosy, that even though he would have no monetary value in regards to damim if he was sold in the marketplace, but he still has the erich, which is written in the parash in the Torah. So therefore, if he says on himself that erki alai, or if let's say someone else says on him that I want to give the value, the erich value, of that mukashchin on me, so we don't say since he doesn't have any monetary value, he doesn't have any erichin. No, rather, that's the chiddush nahakol nerachim. Moreover, continues the Mishnah, that everyone is noidrin. Everyone can make a vow that my monetary value is on me to give to Hektish, or that person's monetary value is on me to give to Hektish. Now the Gemara there explains that although there's no chiddush in Hakol Nidrin, but since we wanted to say a chiddush in the next sentence of Hakol Nidarim, so therefore we said Hakol Nidrin, and so everyone can take a neder vow, and moreover, everyone is v'nidarin, everyone who has some value is the subject of a monetary vow of, let's say he says, I want to give my monetary values on me, or he says on someone else, I want to give that person's monetary value to Hektish, so then he has to give according to how much that person would be sold as a slave in the marketplace, even if, and this is the Chiddush in Hakol Nidarin, even if that subject is less than a month old. And he says, I want to give the value of that child to Hektish, so he has to give his monetary value, meaning even though a child less than a month old doesn't have any erichin value, because if he would say on that child of 2 weeks old that erkei alai, I want to give his erich value on me, he would actually be exempt because the Torah doesn't give any erich, as the Torah says in Meyukach of Zayin, v'im ben chaydish v'ad ben chamesh anim, the youngest of value is from a month till 5 years old. That's the chiddush, but still a kol nidarin, that he still has a monetary value according to his actual market value. If he says that he wants to give it in regarding what's called teres damim, then he would have to give his monetary value. So that's the Mishnah Arachim. So on that, asked the Gemara. So here it says hakol. It says the word everyone is marichin, arachin, nidrin, nidarin, as we explained, which each one of hakol is coming to include something. On that, asked the Gemara, hachan amid leketchila, as our Gemara's questioner is presuming hakol always means leketchila, that it's even initially that one could do this of erichin or nidarim. But voksiv, there's a pasuk in the Devarim that says, v'chisechta linder, if you're going to refrain from taking a vow, then lo yibuchochet, then you're not going to have any sin in you. Which the inference is, but if you take a vow, then you're going to have a sin. Because as the Gemara continues, v'chisechta, there's a pasuk in Keheles, which before that the pasuk said, isa shatidur shalem, that's what you took a vow for, you should pay up. And even so, continues the pasuk in Keheles, toi vashaloi tider, better that you don't take any vows. Why? Because maybe, mishatidu v'loi tishalem, because maybe you're going to take a vow and you're not going to pay up. Which, and this is according to the Remeir's interpretation, as we're going to shortly quote right now. Because V'tanya learned in the Braisa, that's a contrast between not taking a vow or taking a vow and not paying. But V'tanya learned in the Braisa, toiv mize umize, better than this and this, meaning better than taking a vow and paying, and for sure from taking a vow and not paying, is she'en anoydeh kaleker, is not taking any vow at all. Because someone that's accustomed to taking vows, he's ultimately going to, at one point, come to violate lo yachol devari of not profaning his words, of not fulfilling his vow. That's the Remeir. Rabbi Hudaim, he says, no, he says, toiv mizeh umizeh, better than the two cases that the pasuk talks about, is neidur mishalom, is taking a vow and paying that up. Because he understands the pasuk is saying, toiv ashaloi tider, better that not taking a vow, mishatid debloi tashalom, than taking a vow and not paying up. But the inference is, but if you take a vow and you do pay up, that's not included, because that actually is the best of all that. It's good to take a vow and pay it up. But on that explains the Gemara, our question definitely applies with Rebbe Meir, but says the Gemara, even Rebbe Yehuda didn't say that it is a good thing, it's even l'ketchila to take a vow and pay it up. That's elabo'ima harezu. That's only, there's two types of vows to take. What we generally call as a neder or nedava. Neder is harei alai, I take upon myself the responsibility. And nedava is harezu, this thing I'm going to give. So, Rabbi Huda's statement of vowing and paying up, that it's a good thing, even the ketchila, is only where he says, I want to give this. Because then if the thing dies or if it gets stolen, he's not responsible. Or additionally is that because since he already said this, he already separated, designated, he's not going to retract. And therefore, he's going to end up paying it. So that's a good thing to go ahead and do. However, as we continue to Medbeis, Abul Amahari, Alai Law, even Rabbi Huda agrees, if he says, I'm taking upon myself the responsibility for something that he didn't designate yet, and moreover, he has to give that insurance of that, then no, Rabbi Huda agrees that one should initially not take such a nether, because then he might be negligent and not fulfill it. As the Gemara itself explains this in the Darim, in the first paragraph of Yonaman Aleph, that according to Rabbi Huda, you actually have to say, not that better than both is Neider Mishalm, but rather it's Neidev Umishalm, which is a Nedava and paying up. So one thing we see is that according to everyone, even according to Yehuda, that this that we say, Hakol Marichin, Hakol Neidrin, is not Liketchila. Because those are two cases of saying Harei Olai. Because you can't say by either one of them, it's Harei Zu. Because let's say by Erichin, until he first says, Erichi Olai, I want to give my Erich value that's responsible on me, only then does the Torah then say, okay, how much do you have to give? Moreover, when he says that he's taking a neder of Dimeolai, they also have to first evaluate him as a slave, because how could you say Hare Elu, that these things are for Arachim, if he doesn't first take a neder regarding the Erich? So both of these cases are a lie and not Zu. And there, even Rabbi Huda agrees that that's not Ketchila. So you see clearly that, what are you asking? That from a Mishnah, Kol Sheichetim, V'Shechetasim Ksheiro, that's L'Ketchilem B'Di'eved. What do you mean? You see clearly from the Mishnah in Arachan that says a Lashon of Hakol, and we see clearly that everyone agrees, it's not L'Ketchila. So what are you asking? No, that the Gemara answers back to resolve the question of the questioner, meaning to say that he has a good question. Says the Gemara, what? V'chol Hakol Lav L'Ketchilu? So what are you telling me? You tell me that every time it says Hakol, it doesn't mean initially? What do you mean? You think it doesn't ever say Hakol, that it means L'Ketchilu, which would substantiate the questioner of our Mishnah, which is saying that Hakol sounds like it's a Ketchilu, and then Shechadasim Ksheru sounds like B'di'evit? Ella, but we have that it says, in the Mishnah it says, Hakol Chayav B'Sukkah. It says, everyone is obligated in the Sukkah. Now, what does it mean, Hakoil? It's including even the minor, as long as he doesn't need his mother anymore, he's obligated in sitting in the sukkah on sukkahs. And it says, Hakol Chayav Mitzitzis, everyone's obligated in wearing a four-corner garment with strings, Mitzitzis. What's Hakol? That's coming to include even the minor, as long as he knows how to cloak himself. Now, Hachanami de Lav L'Ketchila, he wrote, you're going to tell me that it says Hakol, it doesn't mean L'Ketchila initially? Of course. Of course, initially, it means everyone has to wear Tzitzis or sit in the sukkah. And that says the Gemara, no, Chayavan lo kamina. I wasn't talking about when it says Chayavan. Where it says Chayavan, obviously it's talking about a responsibility, something that you have to do, which means even like a tchila. I was saying when it just says Hakol of, let's say, Sheikhtin, or Mamirin, or Marichin, or Nidrin, that wouldn't necessarily mean like a tchila. That would mean even B'di'evit, and therefore we're asking on the questioner, what's your question? But on that responds the Gemara back, but El Me'ata, but then take a Mishnah Mesechtas Menachas. The Mishnah says, where it doesn't use the terminology of chayavin, it says hakol samchin. Everyone does smicha on an animal which is leaning on the animal before it's slaughtered, which the Gemara explains, what does it mean that everyone is samich, even a yairish, even the inheritor of his parents' carbon, that he does the smicha. And echad anashim, whether men or women. So that asks the Gemara, on the one who's answering the Gemara's question, hachanami de lav l'ketchila, you're going to tell me here also, oh, hakol doesn't mean initially? Because it doesn't say even over here chayavin? But Voksim, the Pasuk says, V'yikra v'samach yod v'nirtza, that he leans his hand on the animal carbon, and then it's going to be a willingness for him as carbon. Obviously, that's l'ketchila, because there's a mitzvah incumbent upon to do smicha. So you see that hakol does mean l'ketchila. And that says the Gemara, in yes, ikka hakol l'ketchila, you're right. Of course, there are situations where hakol could mean l'ketchila, like here in hakol semchen. But v'ikka hakol d'yevet, but like I'm proving, from hakol marichin and noidrin, that hakol could also mean after the fact. But that's what I'm asking on the questioner. El Hakol Dehacha, here in our Mishnah, it says Hakol Sheichtin, Mimai Delikat Chiluhu. Who said it means that even initially everyone who we're including in this Hakol could go ahead and slaughter. The tikshulach that you're asking, oh, Hakol Shechem means like a tefillah, but then the next word, Shchidas Gesher, it sounds like B'diyevet, which one is it? The B'diyevet, who B'loy tikshulach. Maybe our Mishnah is Hakol Shechem means B'diyevet, and therefore what's the question? Because like we proved, sometimes Hakol means B'diyevet. So then it's one long sentence of B'diyevet, what's your question? So that Omalei, so that Rav Ashi says, the questioner says, Ano, me, Shchitasin Kshera Kashali. You're right, my question wasn't from Hakol Shechten. It could mean B'diyevet. But my question is from the next part of the sentence. It says, oh, that their slaughtering is valid. Now, that's difficult, because Medigtani Shchitasin Kshera B'diyevet. From the fact that it says that the slaughtering is valid, it sounds like that that's after the fact. Meaning, if it was like a Tchila, say, they could do it. When saying the slaughtering is kosher, it sounds like that's after the fact. Now, Machlal Da'kol L'Katchilu. That infers that the opening part of the sentence is telling us that they could even do it initially. Why? Because the Di'Evid, if, like you're saying, that Hakol Shechlin means after the fact, Tart Di'Evid Lamali, why do I need to say two times, two phrases of saying after the fact? What it should have said, according to what you want to say to answer my question, it should have just said in the Mishnah, Shchitas Hakol Ksher. The slaughtering of all of them is valid. Chutz Micher Shait V'Katan. Which that would have sounded like you're trying to say that whoever we're coming to include from this Hakol is B'diavid, but not like a Tchila. Why say Hakol Shchaitin or Shchitas Kshera? That sounds like two different statements. If it just wants to say B'diavid, say Shchitas Hakol Kshera besides Cher Shait V'Katan. Or it could have said just Hakol Shchaitin, like it says by Marichin and Neidrin, and not explained. Why does it need to say Hakol Sheichtin and then explain Shechitas Kshera to say that if that Hakol Sheichtin of the Reisha is B'diavad? Just say Hakol Sheichtin, don't say both statements. By saying both, that sounds like that it's telling us the term of L'Katchila and B'diavad. Now, if one's going to ask, what do you mean, but by Timur it also says and then explains. So there it's different because it doesn't say it the same way. It doesn't say Hakol Mamirin Utmuras and Timura one after the other like in our Mishnah. Now, although it does say right after the words Loish Adam Rishoya, etc., that's because it wants to conclude and say that Vesevik is Abam, that if someone does Tumur, they're going to get 40 lashes, to teach a Chiddush that a person gets lashes even for Alav Shein B'maisi, even though it's only with speech. But that's why it continues. However, in our Mishnah, why does it say Hakol Sheikhtin Vishchitasin Shera? That would sound like it doesn't have to say two times with the Evid, and therefore that's what our question was. It sounds like the Kechilim, but the Evid, how do we understand the Mishnah? So on that question, Omer Rabbi Baruli says, Hachikdani. This is what our Mishnah means to say with the two terms of one sounding like L'Katchila and one sounding B'diyevid. The Mishnah opens up Hakol Shechtim. Everyone could slaughter, yes, that sounds like even initially. That's coming to include Vafila Tamei B'chulin. Even someone that's richly impure, when he's coming to slaughter a chulin, an unconsecrated animal, that is even initially okay. Now, on that is the Gemara, Tamei B'chulin, a Tamei person slaughtering an unconsecrated animal? Maila Memra, what do you have to say that for? Obviously, because there's no prohibition of a Jew regarding the Tahara of his Chulin. So why wouldn't he be able to slaughter? So as the Gemara, we're talking about B'chulin Shenasu Al Taharas HaKadosh. We're talking about unconsecrated animal that was done according to the levels of purity of Kadshim. Meaning that the person that accepted upon himself responsibility that he's going to treat all his chulin things with the same level of tahara as kachim. Now, why would he do that? Because he wants to accustom himself regarding the level of purity of kachim that if and when he's going to be eating a carbon shlam or a carbon taida, he'll be proficient in their laws and safeguarding because he's treating all his chulin like that same level. Moreover, uksava, the Tanna of Mishnah holds chulin shenas al taharas hakodesh kakodesh dami. We treat chulin that's being done on the level of the purity of kachim as if it is the law of kachim itself. So therefore, rabbinically, a person is responsible of separating himself from all types of tumas that would invalidate a kachim. He has to do that to the chulin animal. Now, that is the chiddush of our Mishnah. Even so, a tummy person could initially go ahead and slaughter the animal, as we're going to explain right now, with a long knife. As the Gemara explains, Ketruvaisa. So how does he slaughter the animal? He's not allowed to make a tummy because it's chulin shenasal taharas hakodesh that has to be treated like a kachim, and a kachim cannot become tummy. What he does is maybe sakan arucha b'sheichetba. He brings a very long knife and he slaughters the animal. Kadeshali yigababasa, so that when he's slaughtering it, he shouldn't touch the meat of the animal itself. That's what the Mishnah means when it opens up Hakol Sheichtin, that it's even the Ketchila, it's talking about a tummy for a chulin animal shenasal taharas hakodesh. That's what the Mishnah continues. But uvamukdashin, but by a kachin animal, there leketchila initially lo yishchet. He should not go ahead and slaughter, because we're only saying it's regarding a chulin animal that he could, and that's even with a long knife. Why? Because since by kachim, a person is biblically prohibited not to make the animal tame, as the pasuk says in Mimin B'yotches, V'ani hini nesati lachas mishmeris trumasi, behold, I have given you the safeguarding of my holy things, which we see that truma kachim needs to be safeguarded, so there, from becoming tame. So there the Rabbanan initially did make a gzera because of keeping far away from violating a sin, that to say that there a tame person is not allowed to slaughter it. Now, why? Because he might touch the meat. Now, but v'imshachad v'ama barili shloi negati. But if the person who is tummy slaughtered the kachim, the carbon, and he says, I'm definite that I didn't touch it, then shchitasik shera, that's what the next Mishnah when it says, shchitasik shera, is actually going on kachim. And there it's saying that b'di'evet, after the fact, it's okay, it's going to be kosher because he didn't touch the meat. They're initially not, but the Evid, that's what the Mishnah means to say that Shechitas Kasher is going on a tummy person who slaughtered kachim, slaughtered a carbon. Now, later on the Gemara is going to explain why does it work even after the fact. Why don't we say that the tummy person made the knife tummy, which then that went and transmitted tumah to the meat of the animal itself. Now, and then the Mishnah continues. So that's Hakol Shechitin is the Chulin, the Shechitas Kasher is the kachim. And then when the Mishnah continues, chutz mecher shayit v'katan, and however this permissibility of slaughtering excludes the mentally deranged, the deaf, mute, and the minor, is the afilah b'chulin grady, that there even by regular chulin, which even wasn't accepted to have the taras hakodesh, that there the evad namilai, that even after the fact, it's not valid by cher shayit v'katan. There the reason is because shema yishu. They either might delay when they're slaughtering, which that would make the animal into a nevela, as the Gemara explains at length in the Mishnah in the second parak. Shema yidrusu, maybe that he might push the knife. Shema yachlidu, maybe he might burrow, which means like the way the weasel, it was called from this root of this word of yachlidu. It might go under one pipe, between the two pipes and slaughter it like that. And these are all invalidations that would make an animal trefa, a nevela. So therefore we don't allow a chershayt v'katan, even after the fact, to have his slaughtering being valid. Now actually, later on, the Yud Beis and Mabez, the Gemara explains, why did it say in our Mishnah, when it was talking about the invalidation of chershayt v'katan, it says, shem yikalklu, because maybe they're going to make it ruined. Why does it say it in the future tense? Why doesn't it say it because maybe they did ruin it? So that the Gemara explains, because that comes to tell us that you're not allowed to give them to slaughter, L'chulin, initially, even if others are viewing them and standing over them and watching them, because they're always liable to ruin something. That's what it says in the future tense, meaning even if we're taking all precautions and measures and people are watching right over them, because Shemi Yikalku, they might ruin it anyway, and therefore we don't give them initially a chance to go ahead and slaughter even a chulin animal. Now, the Gemara continues and asks, but regarding the ending of the Mishnah, so then when the Mishnah concluded and said, V'kulin sheshachatu, now regarding all of them that they slaughtered and there were others that were watching over them, oh, then it's going to be kosher. So ahai, what's that going back on? So and that says the Gemara, Ilem Acher Shayt V'katan, if it's going back on what we just said before, regarding the Cher Shayt V'katan, although we said that it's not valid by them, but then we're saying, okay, but if others were looking and they saw they did a good job, then it's okay. But then the question is, Allah Koi. But it's going right back on the sentence before that. We just finished saying that it's a problem, Chereshet V'katan. So why say, and all of them, which sounds like it's going on something else, Vim Shacha Tumet Bayile. It should have said, and if they slaughter and others are watching them, then it's okay. Why does it say V'kulan? We don't have to say V'kulan. We're going right back on the previous sentence and say, and if they slaughtered, so obviously it's not going Chereshet V'katan. So Ella rather says the Gemara, Atame V'kulan. It's going back on the tummy person that slaughtered chulin. That's the Zigmar, you can't say that. Hamar leketchila namishach. And you said that's what it means, hakol shechten, that even initially that a tummy person could slaughter chulin. You don't need other people to have seen him to make sure he did a good job. So the Elitz, rather, is going back on the other case of our Mishnah, which we said that's what it means when it says shchitas and kshera, a tummy bumukdashin. It's going back on the case of when a tummy person slaughtered a carbon, which you said the Mishnah is talking about, that it said that initially he's not allowed to slaughter. And it's only b'di'evid that we said that shchitas and kshera. Now, if that's the case, that it's going back on Tamei B'Mukdashin, ask the Gemara, why then does the Mishnah tell us that it's going to be valid if others saw that he did a good job? What do you mean? We explained, when we said Shechtas and Kshera, that he himself is believed to say that if he says, I know for sure that I didn't touch it, that's what it means. Oh, we said, okay, after the fact, Shechtas and Kshera, but Barili Sagi, it's enough when he says, I know. Why do you need others that saw him? Says the Gemara, no, it's going on the case of Tamei B'Mukdashin. So why are we talking about when others saw him? The less they come on, then the shayli. He's not in front of us that we could ask him. You're right. If he was there, that's what it means. Shchidas and kshera, but the evidence, okay, if he says he didn't touch it and make it tummy. But if he's not there, that's what it says. But as long as others were there and they saw he did a good job that he didn't touch it, shchidas is going to be kasher. Now, in this case, the Gemara asked, hi tummy b'mukdashim. This case of a tummy person slaughtering a carbon that we said after the fact is going to be kasher. It's also okay if others saw that he didn't touch it. Ask the Gemara, Mahacha Nafka? Is this really the source where Rebbe anonymously said this halacha of Tamei B'Mukdashin that like a Tamei shouldn't slaughter carbon, but by the evidence it's going to be kasher? But, and that's what you explain is the case of Shechitas and Kshera? But Mahasam Nafka, what do you mean? He already says it in the Mishnah, Masechta Zvachim, as we call it, like Rashi calls it, Shechitas Kachim, as we said, the contrary is our Masechta called Shechitas Kachulin. That's where Rebbe said that halacha, that like a tchilah shouldn't be done and the evidence is going to be kasha. Because the Mishnah there says, Kal HaPasulin, all those who are invalid to do the avoid in the base of Migdash, for example, a non-kayin, or a person that lost one of his close seven relatives that day, or if he's Tameh, or if he's blemish, and all those that are that same type, Sheshachatu, if they slaughtered a carbon, says the Mishnah, Shechitas and Kshera, their slaughtering is valid. Why? Because slaughtering, although it's one of the four avodas, is valid with a non-kohen. Because the pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Yikra says, "V'shachar es ben abakol lefnei Hashem," that he slaughters the young animal in front of Hashem, and the kriva ben Aaron, and the sons of Aaron bring the blood near. Which sounds like only from the Kabbalah, from the receiving the blood, and on is the mitzvah of kuna of Aaron and the sons. Which teaches, but that the previous avodah of slaughtering the carbon is actually kasher with zarm, with non-kahanim, and also all the other psulim, that it's valid. So it's valid benashim, with women, b'avadim, with slaves, b'tmeim, and even with their tamei. Even the highest level of karbanis. As long as, however, if he's tamei, that as long as he doesn't touch the meat, it's going to be valid after the fact. So he says it over there in Zvachim. So how can we say that he's alluding to it over here in Masechta Schulin, in Mishchitas and Kshera, if he already says the halacha regarding Tamei B'Mukdashin in the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim? Says the Gemara, Hacha Iker. Here in our Masechta is the primacy of where Rebbe's telling us this halacha, because our whole parak is talking about the laws of Shechita. Hasam over there, Masechta Zvachim, Aidi, the Tana Shar B'Sum, it's only because he was mentioning all the other individuals that are invalid to do the avodah. So Tani Nami, Tamei B'Mukdashin, in that list he mentioned a Tamei person that's doing the shchit regarding a carbon, which then he says it's going to be okay as long as he didn't touch it, but initially not. But the primary halacha is over here, because here's where we're talking about the laws of shchit, and we're talking about chul, yes, it's okay, even like a tchila, and kachm is only kasher b'di'evit. There it's just mentioning incidentally to all the other psul. Or v'ibayisim, if you want, you can say the other way around. Hasamiker, there it's the primary source, because the Bekachim Koy, that's Zvachim is talking about all the laws of Kachim, and Tamei B'Mukdashim is a law, is one of the elements in the laws of Kachim, regarding how a Tamei could do the Shechit or not. Hacha, but regarding our Mishnah, I did the Tana, Tamei B'Chulin, once we mentioned the opening words which we said, HaKol Shaykh then refers to, that a Tamei person is even Kashal Leketchila to slaughter B'Chulin, so Tanei Nami, Tamei B'Mukdashim, so then we said, Ushchitas Gshera, we said the contrast, we said, however, regarding Kachim, there it's going to be Kashar only B'Diyevit. But again, it's only regarding the contrast, but the primary halacha was, yeah, actually said in Masechta Zvachim. Now the Gemara asks, Hai Tamei, this case of the Mishnah, of the person that's Tamei, the Tamei B'Mai, how did this person that we're talking about slaughtering the chulin, which even the ketchila, slaughtering the kachim, which only be the avid, with what did he become tamei? A person contracts tamei from many different sources. How did he become tamei that we're saying this halacha? Ilemi did tamei b'meis. If you're going to say that it's, he became tamei from touching a corpse, a dead person, but the pasuk in Bamidbar says bechal cherev amrachman. The Torah says that the person who was felled, who was killed by the sword. This is a pasuk in Bamidbar, Perikites pasuk Zayin, which says that anyone who's going to touch in the opening of the field, someone who is felled by the sword, I mean, someone who is killed by the sword, or if he touches a dead person, or in the bone of a person, or in the grave, he's tamei for 7 days. Now, what does it mean when it says b'chalal cherev? So as a continuing type of gimel and aleph, it teaches us the following halacha. Cherev harehu k'chalal. It tells us that the sword has the halacha like the corpse itself. meaning all the tumas that apply to the mess, which is that a dead person could commit tuma to a vessel. So too, regarding the if someone is regarding the corpse and all those someone who touches a corpse, which the corpse is considered avia vaisa tuma, the grandfather of tuma. Someone who touches is considered ava tuma. That the same halacha of that mess or the one who touched the mess applies to the sword that's touching that mess. So in this situation, therefore, avatumahu, that makes that there's going to be a status of an avatum over here, which is if metal touches the, it's like what a sword is made out of, touches, let's say, the dead element, it takes on the same halacha as it. So for example, if let's say it touches the mess, so then the sword becomes the same halacha like a mess, avia vaisatum. It's comparing the cheriv to the chal. Now, let's say the sword touched the, if let's say the sword touched a tummy mess, which is someone who touched the mess, so then it has the same halacha as that person who's an avatama. Now, that's where it ends, because regarding, however, the next, which is called a rishon or rishani, they're not metame kalim. That doesn't have the same halacha as tumas mess itself. But that's what the Gemara asks. So in this situation, the one who you're saying, how did he become tameh? Because he touched the mess. So that makes him an avatama, because every time it transmits, it goes one level lower. So the mess itself is avia vais. The one who touched the mess is an avatama. So letame lesakin. So now that person who's a tameh mess, when he's holding this knife, that sword, that knife, has the same halacha as the person himself. So that sword becomes, that knife becomes an avatama. So then, ba'azel sakin v'tamas labaser. So what do you gain by saying that he's slaughtering with a very long knife? Even so, the knife itself is an avatum, and that should go ahead and make the meat tame itself. What are you gaining by saying how he could slaughter kachim? Because like we're saying, this cheriv is kachal, so here too, it takes the same status as the one who's slaughtering. Now actually, Rashi points out, we didn't even really need this halacha of cherev harei kachal, because even without that, we would have a problem of it, of the meat of the carbon becoming tummy, because as we're explaining, if the person became tummy from a mess, he's an avatama. That makes when he touches the knife, which is a vessel, into a rishon latama, and then the rishon makes the meat into a sheni latama. It's just saying, even the big chiddush is saying that the meat is going to be even the rishon l'tumah. So what he gained by slaughtering but with a long knife that he didn't touch the meat? Who cares? He made the knife tummy, which then made the meat tummy. So Ella rather says, the Gemara, you're right. We're talking about the tummy b'sheretz. When this person touched a sheretz, one of the small creepy crawly creatures which transmits tumah, which is considered an avatumah, not a via voice like a mess, which makes the person, the slaughterer, into a rishon tuma, and now he does not make the knife tum anymore, because a kli, a vessel, a knife, is not vulnerable to tuma only from an ava tuma, because we don't find the Torah that a vessel is mekabel tuma from a rishon or a sheni. The only ones that we do find are food items or beverages. The pasuk says "Mikir Alv." It says "Kol Shabatecha Yitma." Whatever is in the oven, in the earthenware vessel, will become tummy when the sheretz falls into it. Where, what is that including? As the pasuk says nearby, it says "Mikol Oichel Ashe Oichel." From all those things which are eaten, which are food items and beverages, they become tummy from the airspace of a kli cheretz, which is a rishin, which makes whatever inside of it into a sheni. But a vessel, that does not become tummy from the airspace of a kli cheres, where if let's say a vessel was inside that oven in that airspace, and then the outer vessel became tummy, that other vessel is going to be tar, as the Gemara explains at the end of this parak. So therefore, we're talking about that the person who became tummy was from a sheretz, and then it's okay if he takes a long knife and slaughters the carbon, where after the fact it's going to be okay because he does not then make this knife, and hence the meat does not become tummy. Or vibay same. Or the Gemara says, even if you want, we could say that this person who's tummy became tummy from touching a mess. But then, how does that help? Because we're talking that he didn't slaughter with a knife. So it's not a cheriv, it's not a metallic element that then has his same status, or that can be transmitting the tumma to the meat. We're talking about ukugun shabadak. We're talking about where the slaughterer went and inspected to make sure that it's smooth. Kremis shalkana, the stalk of a reed, which that's considered pshute kliyetz. It doesn't have a receptacle. It's a flat wooden element, which is not makabel tuma, does not become tuma itself, to then go ahead and be matama the meat. And v'shachet, it's with that he slaughtered. Because it's kind of like, well, in the b'raisa, a person could slaughter an animal with anything. Bein Bitzor, whether with a rock, Bein Meschuchas, whether with glass, Bein Mekrem Shlokana, or whether with the stalk of a reed, as long as it's smooth and it could go ahead and make a clean cut for the halachas of Shechit, it's going to be valid. And that's why the meat didn't become Tamei. So those are two different approaches. But again, that's what was the first interpretation of the Gemara for the halach of HaMishnah, about Kol Sheichnim, Shechadasim Kshay. We said, what does that mean? It's like Tchila B'diavad. We said, like Tchila is regarding Tamei B'chulin, even though it's Nasal Taras HaKadosh. And then Shechadasim Kshay is Tumah regarding Tamei B'mukdashin, as we explained where he's doing with a long knife, and therefore, if after the fact he didn't touch it, although we don't want initially him to do it because he might make it tamei, shchitasin is going to be ksheira, as we said, that why doesn't it make the knife tamei to make the meat tamei? Either it's toma where he's only a rishon toma because he became tamei from a sheretz, or even if he is an avat toma, but he's not slaughtering with a knife, he's slaughtering with a stalk of a reed, which is not makabel toma, and hence does not make the meat tamei.